Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Matthew was a brilliant man. To have that kind of job, you had to be the sharpest tool in the shed. You had to do your math quickly. You had to know your resources. You had to know your laws. You had to know if you needed to call the soldiers. If you needed them to go into a certain person's house to get their stuff. You had to be brilliant. And this brilliant man who gives us the gospel of Matthew, that's who this is, right? He sees Jesus and a stare and an invitation based on what he might have known a lot or a little of. He assessed it immediately. He's like, I'm in. I'm in. I follow. I leave everything behind. So we go from that to our second point. Jesus, I am the center. Look at this. Verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. The first thing Matthew does, remember, his income stream is gone. So now he has a feast, which in the ancient world, think of it as a wedding ceremony, right? When people are going to get married and they want to do the whole, right now in COVID, you can't do stuff, but in the typical wedding ceremony, and you rent a place and there's a caterer and there's this and there's that, and people are like, this is going to cost $40,000 or $50,000. That's what we're talking about here. This is a chunk out of this guy's pocket, and it's not coming back. There is no income to replace, because when you walk away from that booth, you're not getting the booth back. He has left it all behind. So he throws this massive feast for Jesus. The first thing Matthew does when he answers the call is to celebrate his Savior. Church, this is a celebration. This is a celebration. Every single Sunday, this is a celebration. Walking through those doors with a smile on your face, because you know that God in heaven is celebrating you because you have said yes to Jesus. I can't look in your heart. I'm just going to throw the blanket statement out that you have said yes to Jesus. And therefore, this is a celebration. This is a coming together of the redeemed and those people whose lives are being put back together again. He celebrated his Savior. And since he knew his place in society, and he knew that this was a one-way street to nothingness, this man having a second chance, a true second chance, because this is Jesus. I've heard about, you know, the leper. I heard about the catch. I've heard about these things. A true second chance. This man calls all of his friends who need a second chance and brings them together. A bunch of second chance people gathered around the Savior. Church, there must be something contagious about your faith. It can't just be self-contained. It can't be Jesus in a bottle, right? There must be something about you. In different areas, it doesn't have to be all the areas. It can be maybe in the business world where you're at, or maybe with, if you have some clients, or maybe if you have like a neighbor, a family member, friend. You figure out the area. I need to present this to you. There has to be one of these segments, and obviously the goal is that you would ooze over in all these areas, you would bleed over in all these areas. But nonetheless, there's one or two natural areas where you just kind of bleed over. You just kind of ooze out the goodness of God in your life. The blessing of Jesus, the sacrifice, and it just kind of falls off your tongue, rolls off the tongue. There has to be an area, there has to be impact, because here's a man who leaves it all behind, a clean break, brand new life, and the first thing he invites all the people who don't know Jesus, all the people who need a second chance. So let me present, you know, this is something that hit me last night as I was looking at this message for one of the last times before this morning. And I'm glad Wafa is here, because I'm going to put him on the spot. Him and Dylan. Church, what if, see, he's paying attention now, because something's coming his way. Church, what if, and I'm letting you know that I am available. I am making myself available now here in front of you and whoever's watching online public. If you want to have a Jesus party such as this, where you invite people to your home, one or two, it doesn't have to be we're not celebrating somebody's quinceañeras here, okay? If there's this one person in your life that you really want them to know Christ, if there's this one family member that, and you know that you're just not the person, right? They kind of, you're like too close to them, or you sound like their mom, or you sound like the whatever, You know, if there's that one person, you set up the meeting at the house, and we will come over. Waffle will lead us in a song or two with Dylan, his right-hand man over there by his side. We'll do a little bit of worship, and then you can step out of the room. And we'll just talk about Q&A. Let them ask me whatever they want. I'll bring my big systematic theology book with me just in case they ask me one of those weird questions off the wall. That's fine. You know, we study, but we don't know them all. We know most of them, but not all of them. You know, and let them ask the questions. Honest, true questions. Here is my problem with church. Here is my problem with Jesus. Here's my problem with the Bible. Here's what I'm just not sure about. And how did this happen? And historically, whatever it is, church, you set it up, Edwin will go. A house party. Become Levi. Become Matthew. Let your house stop being just a house and let it become ground of salvation. That's what he does. He takes his normal house, his normal little rectangle that he lives in, and he turns it into holy ground because the Savior is at the center of the party. Notice it says, a celebration, a great banquet for Jesus. Jesus is in the middle of the entire thing. So church, on one level I say to you, let Jesus, let him be the ongoing center of your home and of your life. Allow him to be that ongoing center. And then number two, turn your house into holy ground. Tell one or two people, say, you know what? You had these questions, and I just want you to come, and we're just going to talk about it today. And I'm just going to invite my pastor. He's going to be here, and he's not here to convince you. He's just here to answer questions. Or if they do need to hear a message, then look, if you this issue in their life, pastor, we'll get ready. Waffle comes in. You know, we'll do some worship afterwards because that's kind of awkward since they don't really know the faith to sing something. But afterwards, we'll celebrate. You know, just whatever might have happened. Church, turn your home into holy ground. Turn your home into a place of salvation like he did. Now, the flip side, before we close, you know what's going to happen, right? Because here's what happened to Jesus, and here's what happened to Matthew. And I love these folks. The really good religious people are not going to like that. The really good church-going people are not going to like that. Because notice what the Pharisees do. The Pharisees came to the disciples, not to Jesus. Not to Jesus. And they said, why does your Savior sit down with tax collectors and sinners and eat with them? We must be careful in our, I constantly will warn you about this, right? So we all kind of help each other along the way. It's a walk with Jesus. It's a relationship, not a religion. And some people Christianize themselves out of Christianity. Does that make sense? They try to be so, I have it all sold together, that they can't see salvation when it's happening before their very eyes. They look at people as, oh no, they're lost. Oh no. Well, you know how they are. And you know what they say. And they have these beliefs. The gospel can break all that down. The cross breaks all that down. No obstacles, no barriers. And I love that the Pharisees came to his disciples. They didn't have the courage to look him in the eye. So don't be surprised, right? If you start looking like a little bit of a radical to some of your friends, you're becoming one of those Jesus people now. You're talking about him all the time. You know, people in the office are whispering about you. You're going to lose your job. God will give you a better one. But at least you leave that place having created holy ground. You leave that place with a taste of the gospel. You leave that place with the word of God hanging in the air. And then let God do what he's going to do. But as it falls on you and your shoulders, be that beacon of light in a dark place. Like Matthew was, he brought all the second chance people. Tell me that you don't have a lot of second chance people in your life that need a desperate second chance, if not the 10th one. Right? Tell me that you don't. You do. You do. And it's time. It's time. And people will start whispering about you. And people will say, oh, because, you know, they've gotten a little bit too crazy. They're listening to that Pastor Edwin guy. He's making them strange. He's washing their minds. Like they love saying about our churches now, right? That's happening like all over the country now. No, they're brainwashed. No, it's gospel. The first thing Matthew did was invite all the people he knew that needed a new life, a clean break, and a second chance. That's the first thing he did. He didn't stop to learn the Bible. He didn't go to a Bible study. He didn't have to learn the songs and buy the CD. He didn't have to watch it online a couple of times. I'm not criticizing the people online. We're glad you're with us. What he did was, you need what I have. I found it. I assessed it very quickly. My eyes could see it, and I'm following. Just listen, that Christ might love you and follow you as well. First thing he did, celebrate his Savior. The second thing he did, all the second chance people, here they come. We'll close with this. Did you catch Jesus' words? It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. How many times, and I think we've all done this, right? You really do not want to go to the urgent care because you're saying to yourself, oh my goodness, those are all the students. They're going to destroy me there, right? And I really don't want to go to the ER because I'm going to have to wait like 3 hours before a doctor sees me to wait another hour in that little room by yourself. Why do they put you there anyway? They put you in the room by yourself, right? Or sometimes the little curtains. And then it'll be another. And you feel awful, whatever it might be, a fever, stomach ache, whatever it might be. And you're holding out and you're like, okay, but if I take this medicine, I take this one. If I do this, if I squirm, if I put the pillow here. And you do all this contorting stuff just to avoid going. But once you go, because you finally give in, you're like, I can't anymore, right? And I'm so guilty of this because I do not like to go to those places and get poked by people, okay? But when you get home, you're like, I should have gone sooner. I should have gone sooner because 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, I'm brand new. Don't we do the same with Jesus? We try everything. We mix and match the medicines, we squirm. We think if you put the pillow here, the pillow there, if I sit in the sofa, if I watch this, if I just do this, I don't have to go to the hospital. And Jesus is saying, no, come to the hospital. The doctor is waiting for you. There is nothing to be afraid of here. There is nothing to be afraid of here. The great doctor is waiting for you, that you would come and allow him to lay his hands on you, that you might have a clean break and a true second chance and begin your life over again. So I say to you this morning, church, welcome to the hospital. I'm glad you're here because the doctor is here and his name is not Edwin. His name is Jesus. And if you would just lower your defenses, if you would just step in and just say, okay, Jesus, I've been squirming and not allowing you and not taking the medicine, word of God, worship, dedicating time, he will heal you. As I said a few weeks ago, we'll finish by saying this. Our society keeps telling you that you need to have it all together in order to step in through those doors. And Jesus, this morning, his own words are telling you the opposite. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, the people who have it together, but sinners to repent. He wants you to come back home. That's what the cross is behind me, church. It's a welcome home because God is reaching out to his lost children and he is saying, the doors are open to the kingdom. Come back home. And so I say to you this morning, for those watching online, if you haven't come home yet, then maybe this is your day. Then maybe this is the day where you realize if a guy like Matthew, rejected, put in the same sentence as murderers and thieves, the scum of his society, if in 2 seconds this man can be changed and have eyes to see the others who need salvation, a heart to throw a party for them all, then I say to you, church, that your life can change today as well. Your second chance begins today. It begins today. It doesn't have to wait till tomorrow. But church, would you humble yourself? Would you lower your defenses? Would you see the cross not as intimidating, but as a welcome home, as an open door? There's a reason why the scripture says, especially when we come to the table, which that'll be next week, that, you know, the crowd before him was as far as the east is from the west. That's the love of God. As far as the east is from the west, the north is from the south, it just keeps going. The door is open to you this morning. Come home. The doctor is waiting. Come see him. Allow him to heal. Allow him to put things back together again. Allow him to bring sight, love, compassion, that you would become, like Matthew, a place of salvation, an intersection where people have a true second chance. Church, I know that this is within your reach. God has someone in each of your lives that he wants you to impact for change. And I would just pray, and I encourage you to pray, and ask the Holy Spirit for that courage to just take that first step, a little invite, a little, hey, do you want to get together? And start that process that you might one day have a banquet of a bunch of second chance people in your home, and you will see their lives change just like yours has. Become Matthew this morning. Leave that tax booth behind. Leave your nets behind. All in with your Savior. All in for the salvation of another. All in to see his power and his mercy and his grace get poured out on your life and on others, and things will change once and for all and forever. Can we say amen to that, church? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you would look at individuals like us, undeserving of your attention, of your grace, but yet you give it to us freely and lovingly. And for that, we're grateful. Thank you. Thank you that you didn't just walk past our booth, but you stopped and you looked intently at us. And every single day you extend your hand and you invite, follow me. I pray that that will be the day for someone today. I pray that you would use us as instruments of change in the life of another, that they too might respond to the follow me. Turn our homes, turn our conversations into holy ground, into places where people can come to know you, not just get together, but come to know you, that you might be the center. God, don't let us be defined by what society thinks is important or it's not, by people's opinions or not, that our sight would be fixed firmly on you, that we would disregard what others might say for the sake of saving someone we love. Thank you that in Jesus Christ we have that opportunity. So Lord, use us as instruments of change, of redemption, and of renewal. Use us, God, that we might give that second chance to another. We pray all these things in the very powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.